Grothdale on this Sunday, this Easter Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You know, this Sunday we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and Easter Sunday is to Christianity what Super Bowl Sunday is to the NFL. It's kind of this pinnacle moment. It all comes, you know, it all comes down to this. This is the crowning moment. You know, this is, you know, what we celebrate, the resurrection. You know, this is what all of Christianity hangs upon. That without the resurrection, we lose everything we believe in as Christians. That the resurrection is the one piece that holds it all together. That the death and resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of what we believe as Christians. And without the death and subsequent resurrection of Jesus, our faith is futile. And if Jesus was not raised to life, then us gathering here this morning significantly loses its value. And what I'm doing here this morning preaching also is useless. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Feel free to turn there. No hard feelings if you don't get there. 1 Corinthians 15, this is what Paul says. In verse 14, he says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If we only, for this life, have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead. Christ has indeed been risen from the dead. And this declaration, this truth is what we gather here to celebrate this morning. I love in the program, the bulletins for this morning, it says 10 a.m. Resurrection celebration. That's what we're here for. We're here to celebrate the resurrection. But my prayer this morning is more than just knowing the Easter story, more than just being aware of the fact that Jesus gave up his life, sacrificed his life for our sins, more than just gathering here to celebrate what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. My prayer this morning is that we may know the risen Christ. That we may know the risen Christ. And this is the desire that Paul expresses in Philippians 3. Turn with me to Philippians 3, if you will. And I think in the Pew Bible it's page 1826. And this is where Paul expresses this desire to know Christ. We'll be reading from Philippians 3, starting at verse 7. Paul says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but the righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, the participation in his suffering, and becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Like I says, Paul's desire here is to know Christ, to the value, the worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. In verse 10, he says he wants to know Christ. He wants to know the power of his resurrection. He wants to know the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Amplified Bible paraphrases verse 10 in this way. It says, for my determined purpose is that I may progressively and deeply and intimately know him and the wonder of his person and the power overflowing from his resurrection, being continually transformed in spirit into his likeness.
determined purpose is that I may progressively and deeply and intimately know Him. You know, this is a clear picture of what it means to know. You know, in Greek, there's two different words for know. One is to know intellectually, to have book knowledge about something, to know the facts about something. And the other word is gnosko, which is an experiential knowledge. It's a knowledge from having done something or been there when something happens. Not just knowing the facts about something, but experiencing it. And this is the word that Paul uses. He wants to know Christ. He doesn't want to just know about Jesus. He wants to know Jesus in a personal, an intimate, an experiential way. However, without the resurrection, without what we celebrate here this morning, it would be impossible to know Jesus on that level. Without the resurrection, Jesus would be a person in history that we could study, we could learn about, we could document, we could know on an intellectual level. But if Jesus was never raised to life, then Paul's desire here in Philippians would be unattainable. And for each of us, it would be unattainable to know Christ experientially if He had not been raised from the dead. When I was in 7th or 8th grade, I can't remember which, I had an assignment in my social studies class. And this assignment required me to interview somebody who had lived through the Great Depression and then write an essay based upon my interview. So I had the opportunity to sit down with an older gentleman from my church who had lived through the Great Depression. His name was Paul, and I got to sit down with him and ask him some questions, interview him about his experience. And as I sat down in that interview, he shared stories from his life with me. He shared facts and information about the Great Depression. He talked about his parents. He talked about his siblings. He talked about his extended family. He recalled what a normal day in his life looked like during the Depression. He talked about the school he went to. He talked about waking up in the morning and, you know, the cold room, but the radiator where he'd put his clothes. And he talked about the farmhouse they had. He talked about their garden. He talked about the animals they had. He talked about the street he lived on, the school he went to. He talked about his experience. And when I left that interview, I felt like I knew more about the Great Depression. But I didn't know it personally. You know, everything I knew was secondhand information. I didn't experience it. I just heard information and stories about it. And it's because of a tomb that was found empty over 2,000 years ago. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we can know Jesus on a level that goes deeper than just secondhand information. We can know Him personally. In gathering here this morning on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate the fact that He rose from the dead, but we also celebrate the fact that we can know Him personally and intimately and experientially. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, some of us here this morning may have a secondhand information of Jesus. You know, maybe we know of Jesus. Maybe we know about Jesus. Maybe we've heard about Him from others. Maybe we've heard about Him from church or from Sunday school or from our parents or a coworker. We've heard about Him. We've read the stories about Him. But do you know Him? Do you not just know about Jesus? The question for us this morning is not, do you know about Jesus? But the question for each of us this morning is, do you know the risen Christ? Have you experienced the risen Christ? Do you know Him? In the passage we read here in Philippians, the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear that his goal, his desire, his passion, his pursuit is to know Christ, to know Him in an experiential way. And in the first few verses, he says that he's willing to lose everything else. He counts everything else as a loss compared to the worth of knowing Christ. He says it's all garbage. It's worthless. It's stinky, rotten, smelly garbage compared to the value of knowing Christ. He says, I'm dead to these other things. You know, in the verses prior to what we read this morning, he talks about his personal accomplishments. He talks about his family heritage. He talks about his training and his learning and his academic knowledge. And he talks about his ego and his pride and his reputation. He says, all of these things, I'm dead to them. I consider them a loss for the sake of knowing Christ experientially. You know, Paul realizes that these things don't lead to an experiential knowledge of Christ. He said, just because I grew up in a Christian family with good Christian teaching and I had, you know, a Christian tutor and all these good influences in my life, I can know a lot about Christ, but I set all of them aside because I want to know Christ personally, experientially. Charles Spurgeon said, you will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything but Christ. And this was Paul's, the Apostle Paul's experience. He wanted to know the fullness of Christ, and so he had to die to everything else. He realized the emptiness of all these other things. And he talks about this not only here in Philippians, but also in Romans 6. I invite you to turn with me to that. I think page number is 1751 in the Pew Bible. Romans 6. Paul continues this idea of dying to himself, his selfish desires, his sin, so that he can know Christ. Romans 6, starting in verse 1. Paul says, what then shall we say? He's talking about the grace and forgiveness of God. Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? You know, often when we think of baptism, we think about this baptism into life and new life. But Paul recognizes there's part of baptism which is a death to sin. That when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, we identify with the resurrection, but we also identify with his death. Just as he said in Philippians, knowing the power of his resurrection, but also participating in suffering and death. And it's through this experience of death through our sinfulness, that we can be raised to life. Continuing in verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. It's when we're united with Christ in death that we can be united with him in resurrection. And it's through this that we can have that personal knowledge of Christ. Continuing on in verse 5, Paul says, for if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate that through identification with Christ in his death, we will be raised to spiritual life. And we believe that if we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. We will live with Christ we will live with Christ in close friendship. That as we go about our lives, we'll walk with Jesus. We'll talk with Jesus. We'll know him as the risen Christ. As the Easter song says, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. This is the declaration of the Christian who knows Jesus not just intellectually, but because of the resurrection, because Jesus continues to live today, that we can have a personal knowledge of Christ. That he walks with us and talks with us, that we experience life with him. And when somebody says, how do you know he lives? You don't say, well, intellectually, I know. Or intellectually, I've read the stories or I've looked at the facts, but we say, I know because he lives within my heart. I know because I've had an experience with him. And this Easter Sunday, we gather to celebrate the fact that Christ lives and he's conquered death. But we also celebrate the fact that we can know Christ as the risen Savior. That we can know him intimately and passionately, firsthand knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, I ask that this morning, that more than just knowing the story, more than just having an intellectual knowledge of Christ as the risen Savior, God, that we would know him. God, I pray that we would experience Christ in our lives. God, I thank you that we can identify with Christ in his death, dying to ourselves, dying to our sinfulness, dying to our old nature, that we can be raised to life with Christ. God, that you give newness of life. God, we thank you for this opportunity to know you experientially. God, I pray that we would continue to grow in our knowledge of you. God, thank you that we never reach the end. We never know all there is to know, but it's a continual process of learning to know you, of growing in closeness, in friendship. God, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. God, that it wouldn't just reach our heads, our intellectual knowledge, but that it would reach down into our hearts. God, that we would experience you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.